Demo Audio Episode Number 2. Yeah, something tells me I need to invest in a voiceover dude with a really deep, resonant voice, sort of ominous and intimidating. Demo Audio Episode 2. That was pretty lame. That's why I need to invest. Need to drum up some cash for that. That'll cost some money. So if you can help out, that'd be great. Hey, welcome, folks. I'm going to shake things up a little bit here. I'm going to steer clear of, for the most part, the religious angle. Although it will get back into it. There was always that end around with regard to, you know, the whole why we're here, what we're doing on this earth sort of thing. But, yeah, I'm going to steer clear of any discussions of the end times, the sexual proclivities of bonobos, try my best to get, just put the blinders on with regard to our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, who is he's pulling the whole, you know, ostrich head in the sand, la 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 la, don't want to hear anything about sex selective abortions, la 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 la, don't want to open it up in the House of Commons, la la la. It's just, it's embarrassing, but I promise I'll get into that some other time. Today, we're going to go right back into my former, what was once my wheelhouse, and that is sports. Because as we all know, especially here in Canada, the NHL has canceled all games through to December 30th. So, to my wife Andrea, you're not out of the woods yet. Because our anniversary happens to fall on December 30th. So we still might. There's that outside chance. We may be, you know, clinking champagne glasses in front of a flat screen watching the Leafs lose on December 30th. Okay, that was a joke. There's no way we'd be watching any hockey on my wedding anniversary. It just would not happen. That's not how we roll here in the Goddard household. We're all about family. All seriousness, the NHL is in some trouble. I've always held, even before the season started, that the season could be wiped out completely and fully. And it's looking more and more like that's going to happen. Folks, there have been four major work stoppages in the NHL alone dating back to 1992. Remember, the 2005 season completely wiped out. It was the first time in pro sports history that an entire season was lost due to a work stoppage. And the chasm in this current debate between the two sides, the union and the owners, is very, very wide. And it certainly deepened on Thursday when union head Donald Fear came out of the Thursday night discussions. He thought things were looking grand. He came out and said, you know what, we've got hope, things are coming together, and that may not have worked out to their advantage because, Gary Bettman came out and just said that's just not the truth of the matter, and I think there was a bit of politics being played that Thursday after there was some optimism that there would be some sort of meeting in the middle, but it's going to be nasty. And so at minimum, December 30th is where the NHL season will start, if they even get to that. And, you know, I could get into the X's and O's about what is happening in the NHL lockout, or we could just kind of sidestep it and just look about what is happening. The stuff that's happening outside that sphere of influence, if you will, between the two sides debating how they're going to divvy up all the money that's at stake. So, and that's where I want to go on this. I mean, to those who have no clue as to what is happening in the debate, I'm just going to break this down quite simply. And it's my opinion that way too much angst exists in this debate. From the fan base, was watching a news broadcast this evening, and the sportscaster led the broadcast with a quick little, you know, 90-second, two-minute diatribe on how, you know, pissed off he is that the league hasn't come together and the players aren't lacing him up and playing NHL hockey. And it was you know, as I said to my wife, she was sitting on the couch listening to this commentary, and I said, oh, my goodness, you got to be kidding me. It was something out of Aesop's Fable of the Fox and the Grapes. Like, this sportscaster was really ticked off. And you know, he was saying things. He was like demonizing the two sides because of the millions that they make. And here's another thing as well, too. You know, you're listening to a liberal sportscaster when they start going off on how much money the owners and the players make. Listen, the bottom line is this: really, you can't demonize the two sides for the money that they make. Especially, it's odd coming from a sportscaster who's a he's earning, no doubt about it, six figures and living quite the high life. Listen, work stoppages happen. Collective bargaining agreements fall through the cracks. These things happen. But I think it's a real marker in where society has come, or, you know, how far we've fallen, where we are. Every, you know, breath hangs in the balance with regard to whether or not the two sides in the NHL labor dispute are going to come together. And I think it's quite sad. I'll hearken back to one of my favorite sportscasters on the radio is a guy by the name of Colin Cowherd on ESPN. And he says this quite frequently, but I agree completely with this guy when he says, I do not love sports. Now, Colin Cowherd is one of the most knowledgeable guys I know, you know, that I listen to in sports media. And here's a guy that makes no bones about it. He says, I do not love sports. I love my wife. I love my children. Sports happens to be a great distraction. I made that last part up. That's how I feel. I love my family, and I love the friendships that I forge and the relationships that I have with people. I love that. I do not love the NHL. I enjoy it immensely, but I do not love it. I can live my life without it. But here's the thing. Before you start going off on thinking how, well, you're not a real fan, au contraire, mon frère, here is where I stand on sports, and I've always felt this way. What is sports? Sports, at its heart, is a glorification of God. Full stop. End of story. When I look at sports, and I see these incredible human beings, these proficient athletes on the playing field do their thing, it just screams creation to me. It screams creation from the rooftops. When you see, you know, I remember talking to Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Maple Leafs, years ago when I was working at Leafs TV. And we had a little, we sat down, just the two of us, we were just chatting. He's a great guy. He's so well-spoken. He's so engaging. And he's just so damn knowledgeable about hockey and about not just hockey, but about the pro athlete and how, you know, they tick. And I'm speaking, Paul Maurice is like the many, many, you know, coaches out there that are immersed in the game. I was talking to Paul Maurice about the attributes of one Matt Sundin. And I asked him, and we just got in a conversation, what makes Matt Sundin so good? And he just said, Damien, you have no idea. You know, when you see him operate within the confines of a dressing room or within practice or on the bus with his teammates, it's just we as people, as fans that have only a cursory knowledge of, you know, what a pro athlete does, we really don't have a clue as to how special these human beings are. I remember talking to Paul in particular about one goal he had scored against the Vancouver Canucks one night in Toronto, where he was so incredible. And I still think to this day, Leaf fans, for the most part, don't quite appreciate what Matt Sundin did for this organization. But I remember talking to Paul Maurice about this one goal that Sundin had helped set up. And he hit the puck behind the net. And with one hand on a stick, he was straight-arming an oncoming defender. I forget who the defenseman was from behind the net. And Sundin, with one hand such deft precision, passed the puck with one hand from behind the net, flipped it over the stick of the defender and the goaltender, saucer pass right into the front of the net, and it was buried. And it was just such an amazing goal. Much was made of the goal being scored, but not enough in my estimation to the man who set it up. That was Matt Sundin. And Paul Maurice said, yeah, Damien, you get it. You are looking behind. You're finding a deeper level at which to watch the game. I thought that was really cool coming from Paul Maurice when he said that, because I've always taken the time to look at how things happen behind the scenes, or the deeper layer in sport, in the NFL, a wide receiver getting off the line, pushing off his defender, perfect timing from a quarterback that sees the whole plane of the field in a split second, makes the decision to thread the needle through, an oncoming middle linebacker. It's just. Sports glorifies God. God created us to do many different things. What we do as human beings, it's quite incredible when you consider how special we are. And then the pro athlete, or even the amateur athlete at the Olympic Games, they take it to that next level. And I've always felt that. And I'm speaking for the most part, generally speaking, sports fans don't get it. They don't get it. A lot of that stems from a deep resentment for where they might be in their own lives. Some of it may come from the fact that they are struggling financially, and so they see that bullseye on the pro athlete and the owner as well, too. And they just, with this large swath, generalize and call them, they demonize them for the money that they make, not understanding that they play an active role in the mess that has unfolded before our eyes with regard to this labor stoppage. And so I've always held that pro sports does serve a purpose. It does. It really does. I've always believed in my heart that a society and a culture it becomes something very special when it can take all aspects of creation and perform it or lay it out there in a way that honors God and His creation. And pro sports most certainly does that, and I believe for the most part, it's lost, especially in this day and age. It's lost in our culture of what have you done for me yesterday and the almighty dollar. There's a reason why we attach terms like almighty dollar and football is our God. Without getting in too much to Jason Whitlock's essay, of which I commented on earlier with regard to the most unfortunate circumstances surrounding Javon Belcher, his girlfriend, and their little 3-month-old child. Jason Whitlock, the newspaper columnist who was talking about football being a god. Yet I agreed to some extent, but he was actually legitimizing this sort of sporting deification, and I think that's where we've lost it as a culture. Now, understand what I'm saying here. Work stoppages happen. They are bound to happen because of the animal that is created, the monster, if you will, the amount of money that is made in pro sports. It's a foregone conclusion. This is a reality of life. But it's so damn unnerving when you take to social media and some of these fans take it so personally. They actually believe it is a personal affront on behalf of owners and players to piss them off and get in the way of their lives. It's so Roman Coliseum-esque, isn't it? When you really think of it. It is so based on this me attitude. They are hurting me. They are getting in the way of me and my family. I can't take my kid out to see a game now. My kid misses the – No. Your kid wants to spend time with you, okay? Let's get that straight. In any well-adjusted family, the child is not missing their Wednesday night dose of the Leafs losing to the Canucks. Your child wants to sit down on the couch and watch the game with you. Your child would love you to pick up a hockey stick and shoot the ball outside, play a little road hockey. Children just want to spend time with their kids, and it really grates my nerves whenever I tune into sports talk radio, especially in Toronto. And you hear these guys bitching and moaning, my kid, he doesn't understand. He just wants his NHL hockey. No. Your kid wants your attention, Dad. Your kid wants to be with you. All right? The NHL hockey is just a means by which that relationship is forged. You know, I take a lot of pleasure in the fact that I was one of seven kids. My dad, hardworking man, worked as an ENG editor at CFDO-TV, hung out with Pat Marsden, Fergie Oliver, all those guys. I was almost like my second home was being in the newsroom at CFDO-TV, and so I got to meet these people. But my dad is incredible. God love him. You know, he never took me to a Leaf game. I grew up likely the largest Leaf fan that I knew growing up. And I never, ever went to an NHL game until I was in first year university. My girlfriend at the time got me tickets to see the Leafs and the Red Wings. I think it was like in February of, 1989, down at the Gardens. That was my first ever Leaf game. But when my dad would take me into the newsroom and I'd see Pat Marsden and Dan Matheson, those guys, and they would be astounded at my hockey knowledge because I was just an encyclopedia. I would suck up all this information about the Leafs, and Daryl Sittler was my guy to this day, still is my guy. Daryl Sittler is my number one guy of all time. Number one fan. A number one player of all time is Daryl Sittler. 1A would be Wayne Gretzky. But I knew everything about the Leafs, about Salming and McDonald and Thompson and Wayne Thomas and Gord McRae and all these guys. And I have to assume that the sportscasters at CFDO asked my dad if it had ever taken me to a hockey, and my dad would say no. It's probably partly the reason why I still have all the media guides, the Leaf media guides from the 1970s and 80s back at my parents' place in Scarborough. It's probably because they felt sorry for me because I never seen a Leaf game. That said, it's my hope now that they didn't feel any remorse for me not being able to see a Leaf game live, because I fell in love with hockey because of my mom and my dad, who never took me to a Leaf game. They understood my passion for it, and they fed it, and they fed it by being with me. They fed it by taking me skating. They fed it by signing me up for hockey. My first year, I was 9 years old when I entered minor hockey. And I'll never forget that. And I think that's partly the reason why I can speak into the microphone right now and talk to a large extent as to why I think society in part is crumbling. And I see that we see it in this current labor dispute between owners and players, and not necessarily in how they are unable to come to common ground with all the money that's at stake. I think we see this crumbling in how the outside world, how the people on the periphery, the fans, how they view it. And they see it as a personal attack. And I just think this glorification of sports is where we've gone wayward. And I'm speaking specifically in the sports world. We have completely lost our marbles, the way we deify these players and the sport itself. Football is not a god, all right? That said, you don't demonize the players and the owners because they've made well in their career decisions. This is about business. Sports has always been about business, and who funnels all that money into it? It's the fan, and they help create the monster, if you will. And I just think it makes no sense to me whatsoever how any good to honest sports fan who has some semblance of reason cannot look at sports and say, wow, this is to glorify God. God is the creator. God creates us all. He glorifies himself in how we see these athletes operate on the playing field. When they decide to get back to playing hockey, I know I'll be watching. But until then, I'm going to clink glasses with my wife on December 30th to mark our wedding anniversary. And then wake up the next day because the sun will rise. But, you know, for sports fans, I think chill out. You know, to sports anchors appearing on nightly news programs and playing the whole, you know, they're all evil, they're all money-grubbing evil, you know, I just think we got to chill out a little bit, pick up a book, maybe even pick up the good book. That might help. That might help. As a matter of fact, that would help tremendously. I really think we need some perspective here in these matters. And so that's my two cents. And, you know, until then, love your family, love your friends, stay away from the so-called love affair with pro sports, because if you sell your soul down that river, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. So that's about it for now. I'm going to beg off, but great chat with you. I need to get a voiceover to ring in these demo audio episodes. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. Next time I'll be more prepared. Take it easy. God bless.